Zoom's all ready? What's that? All right, we'll call the meeting to order, please. Nancy, we could have roll call?
Mr. Paska?
Here.
Mr. Cacamo?
Here.
Councilman Dougherty? Mr. Holly?
Here.
Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Juski?
Here.
Mr. Neff?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalat?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Ms. Walter?
Here.
Mr. Beermore? Vice Chair Kropinski?
Here.
Chair McGoldrick?
Here.
We have a forum.
Thank you very much. Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial meeting, proceeding rather. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider when reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. We'll stand now for a silent prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll now open the floor to public comment for any item which is not on the agenda this evening. Anything on Zoom? Seeing none, we'll move on. Pending litigation?
Please report that there is none.
Outstanding. Other business. So, if we recall from last meeting, we had to decide on a July meeting date. As everybody responded to Nancy and indicated what their availability is.
Both of those dates work for most people. The only one is Monday is on Harbor. Not Harbor, so probably the 16th.
So, by show of hands, is it 16th work for everybody? Yeah? Yeah.
Thank you.
July 16th?
July 16th.
That was my question too. I was like, how
are
everybody voting?
January was exceedingly long, right about that.
What's for dinner?
And the ordinance committee? Have we had any?
Yeah, we were able to meet up and talk about a slew of things. We talked about the ordinance that we're going to be talking about later tonight, and then also sort of, I don't want to like say set an agenda for items that we want to talk about, because it's not that black and white, but we certainly talked about and hashed out what ordinance we want to visit throughout the year. So.
Very good. Do you have any plans to meet for the March meeting?
I mean, we can also grab some emails.
It's 2024. You don't necessarily have to meet somewhere. You can certainly do
whatever
is convenient.
I mean, and so we're hoping to meet besides this meeting, the regular planning board meeting, we're hoping to meet once to talk about it,
great.
Whether that's on the phone or in person. But that's the plan. That's what's actually been happening already. So far, so good.
Very good. Sort of best way to kind of share and circulate some of those findings, or
I think, you know,
a larger board.
Sending, what your agenda was, what was discussed, what forward-looking thing you're doing. If you send that, just a planning board email to Nancy, Nancy can disseminate that to the rest of the board.
Perfect.
Very good. And annual report.
Mr. Chair,
Chairman, the annual report was distributed to the board last month, and just looking to see if there's any other board comments before the board entertains a resolution during the regular meeting to adopt. Further discussion, if not, we'll just carry it to a meeting for the resolution to adopt.
Does anybody want to give any input before we move that forward?
Good. I guess I'll just start everything. And I'll honest here.
All right, very good. And with that, we will need a motion to adjourn the workshop.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
A second.
Mr. Pasca. Mr. Cockermo.
Yes.
Mr. Hawley.
Yes.
Mr. Pasco.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Mr. Neff.
Yes.
Chair, Dr. Zuzla.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kapinski.
Yes.
Chairman Holter.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned. I'm sorry, workshop adjourned at 7:06.
Very good. And we'll continue out with the regular meeting. Give me the roll call, please.
Mr. Pasta.
Here.
Mr. Cockermo. Here. Councilman Dunbar. Mr. Hawley.
Here.
Mr. Jasko.
Here.
Ms. Majewski.
Here.
Mr. Neff?
Here.
Vice Chair McCultrick? I'm sorry, Vice Chair Kapinski?
Here.
Chair McCultrick?
Here.
Dr. Zuzla?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Ms. Walter?
Here.
Mr. Beerborn? Mr. Delphicorn?
Next item is the, we'll need a motion for the approval of the November 21st, 2023 special meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kapinski?
Yes.
Chair McCultrick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the approval of the January 4, 2024 meeting minutes. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept.
Second, Jasko.
Mr. Pasca.
Yes.
Mr. Cockermo.
Yes.
Mr. Hawley.
Yes.
Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Mr. Neff.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzala.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kapinski.
Yes.
Chair McCultrick.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the approval of the attorney's voucher for December 2023. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Mr. Pasca.
Yes.
Mr. Cockermo.
Yes.
Mr. Hawley.
Yes.
Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Mr. Neff.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzala.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kapinski.
Yes.
Chair McCultrick.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the resolution for PB 2309, Bezra Cola Excavating, 43 Avenue C. Need a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I'll second. Mr. Cockermo.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Kapinski?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the resolution for the annual report. So essentially, yeah.
Discussion?
No, that way, yeah.
I make a motion to it. Accept the annual report.
Okay. Mr. Pasca.
Yes.
Mr. Cockermo.
Yes.
Mr. Hawley.
Yes.
Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Mr. Neff.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzala.
Yes.
Vice Chair Kapinski.
Yes.
Chair McCulpin.
Yes. Next item is the consistency review for Ordinance 03-2024, amending Chapter 150, HBD, and CBD zones.
Mr. Chairman, this is an ordinance that has been referred to the board for consistency review, and the planner is here to give you a synopsis of the presentation, and then the board has to determine whether it's consistent or not consistent, and if the board has any recommendations to go with the consistency report, you can make them as well.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Sika Ate, a CME associate. If the board recalls, a couple of months back, this ordinance was visited the first time, where it was reviewed to look at our necessarily, particularly the HBD and CBD zones. What this ordinance, the revisitation of this ordinance, we've tried to achieve is we've heard the board's concern, the council's concern, and removed the design standard section of the ordinance, because I believe there's an ordinance subcommittee which is going to comb through that, and we're going to mesh with those standards and come up with a more succinct standards for that area. What you have before you is the HBD CBD zone, where essentially the uses are still the same. What this ordinance is trying to achieve is creating a more direct verbiage as to what is permitted and what's not to be permitted. For example, in HBD zone, residential users are supposed to provide parking on site. Off-street parking is permitted for commercial users. CBD zone, which is larger lots, you would be required to provide parking on site. Another main item is the density is regulated, which is also shown in the schedule chart, which is attached to the ordinance. The density is limited to 40 dwelling units to the acre. Overall, commercial use of minimum 40% of street level frontage is permitted in these zones, as well as added some, clarification on where parking is to be permitted or not. Overall, with these amendments, it meets one of the three specific objectives of the master plan. One of the main objectives of the master plan was to limit future development and population density by clarifying the density requirement in these zones. This ordinance is trying to achieve that. One of the other objectives was to retain the small town residential character while continuing to thrive as an active, livable waterfront community. And the third was to continue to strengthen the off-street parking requirements for principal users in commercial zones. I believe this ordinance is meeting most of these specific objectives and therefore it conforms with the master plan.
Thank you very much. Any questions to the board?
So what the board has to consider is, based upon your planner's testimony, as to whether you find that the ordinance is consistent with the master plan, which he has just advised you that it is, and if there are any suggestions or recommendations that the board members have, you can include that as part of the consistency report.
I have a chance to review the ordinance. I think it's great that this ordinance was broken into two sections, and I appreciate that. And I had a lot of comments last month, I don't have a lot of comments this time. I think Jeff, it is consistent with the master plan as it is. Going to be doing that same sort of format as last time. That's not to say I don't have any comments. I'd be happy to provide them now or provide them an email. I'm not sure what's preferred.
I think now's preferred.
In 150-42, number 7, I understand what this provision is trying to set for. I don't think anybody in a residential zone wants to have a new not single-family residential development happen adjacent to their property without any sort of screening. I do, however, recommend that the buffer language be revisited. And for instance, I think that saying that like evergreen trees and shrubs and also a visually impervious screen, like that, I think you know that it is a practice to do that, but it's not a best practice. As well as the 6 foot tall visually impervious fence, just because you know it gets into like the TV head stuff. I think a lot of the times, so I wouldn't want a developer coming in a large development and then putting up just a 6 foot visually impervious screen all the way down next to, you know, a residence, because you can't see what's behind that. So I think the visually impervious thing is what I just take issue with. So that's my recommendation, because I think it's a safer environment if it's not visually impervious. Like, but to say it should be screened, you know, the visual connection should be, you know, screened, and I think it can always be added onto, but to say visually impervious, I think kind of backs the review into a corner.
Understood, and I just, point well taken. The idea behind that was just to kind of buffer, because you know we are allowing parking on the first floor to make sure you know the single family residences don't have to see a parking lot from their yard. So we were trying to achieve that. So we added that you know evergreen trees or you know along with shrubs or deciduous trees, so that there is a kind of like a buffer maintained throughout, or alternatively a fence. But we can definitely tweak that language.
Thanks for your
time.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Just on that same paragraph,
mm-hmm.
It might be prudent to change that landscape with evergreen trees, maybe add the word shrubs, because right now it's a standard.
Okay.
All right, so we'll bring this to a vote then.
Mr. Chairman, as part of the vote, would you like for me to revise the consistency report just to add those comments?
Yeah, I think so.
The report.
Yeah.
So I'll revise that, and then I'll get it to Nancy tomorrow.
Great. Thank you very much.
So then you need a motion, a second, to adopt the consistency report for those revisions.
I'll make a motion to accept.
I'll second.
Mr. Tasca. Yes. Mr. Capolo.
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Juicy?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Dr. Suzuwa?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kuczynski?
Yes.
Chair McCulter?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next order of business on the agenda is the Baker application. And that application was carried previously to this meeting, and I understand we communicated from the applicant's attorney that they have not finished their revisions yet, so they're not ready to proceed this evening. They're asking that the matter be carried. So I would suggest a couple of things. I would suggest that we carry it to the March meeting, March 7, 2024, at 7:00 p.m. in the same room, and no further notice would be required. But I'm also going to suggest that since we are now 3 months down the line from when they started, and we're now going to be 4 months down the line, that we send them a letter suggesting that they need to be ready for the March meeting, or that the board may consider a dismissal for the final version of the application, if that's acceptable to the board.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to bring this to a vote, just, you know,
state.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, personally. Does anybody have objections to that?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Stout.
All right, so for any members of the public who are here interested in that application, is being carried to March 7, 2024 at 7 o'clock p.m. in this same room. At that time, the matter will proceed. I guess I should also mention that because there are apparently being changes in the application, those changes are significant. The applicant actually is going to renotice, and they will have to publish a new notice for that meeting. But in the event that they don't, for those who are here and interested, be here that date and time. That's when it's scheduled to continue. And the next item on the agenda, that is a new application, PB23-07, of VSC 1 Bayshore Plaza, Block 104, Lots 1 and 2. We have received a communication from the applicant's attorney that they are requesting that the application be withdrawn. They have decided not to proceed with the application, so I would recommend that the board entertain and adopt a motion and a second to dismiss the application without prejudice.
So we'll need a motion for that?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to dismiss without prejudice.
I'll second.
Mr. Pasta?
Yes.
Mr. Cacamo?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Stay.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Dr. Susanoff?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kopinski?
Yes.
Chair McCulter?
Yes.
And Mr. Chairman, I should also note that number 12 on the agenda is application PB23-13, Sinclair, 52 East Garfield Avenue, Block 80, Lot 3. There was an issue with their notice of hearing. Initially, their notice did not include the information necessary to join the meeting through the virtual content, so that and that's in the newspaper publication. The notice that was sent to property owners apparently did have that information, but the newspaper didn't publish it. So they tried to republish the newspaper in time for tonight's meeting. They missed the deadline by a day. So the board doesn't have jurisdiction. They're going to have to re-notice the newspaper. But for anyone who did receive notice of hearing, any of the property owners who are interested in the application, it is being carried to March 7, 2024 at 7 o'clock p.m. in the same room. The application will move forward to be heard at that time. Those of you who receive notice through the mail are not going to receive a new notice. The only notice is going to be a republication in the newspaper.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, would you come, staff, come forward?
My name is Nancy Claire. I sent that out. Now, my question to all of you is, do I need to publish it in the paper again? It was published today. They were actually missing it just like 4 hours.
You're missing it by a day because you don't count today.
Correct. So at midnight, it would be 4 hours since we went to midnight. I don't, but that's not my answer. Does that count? And then also,
it does
published.
Not. It does not count.
And then it was published again in the Two or Times. Will that count for March's meeting?
Well, there were two publications that I'm aware of. One was the 13th.
I have three.
I was sent two.
And I just received the affidavit from the Tour of the Times today, and it's published on the 25th. So that doesn't count either, but will that count for March?
It would have happened, but you didn't notice for the March meeting. The notice you published was for tonight.
All right. So
I'm sorry, but I mean, I'm trying to...
No, I get it.
I'm not going to make you renotice all the neighbors and go to that expense, but unfortunately...
Right, but the Zoom numbers, like...
The Zoom numbers were okay in your second publication, but it was too late, and the board... board, the statute says it has to be published 10 days before the date of the hearing, so we don't, you can't include this date.
Well, I understand that, and I appreciate that, but my question is, are the Zoom numbers, because we're not in a pandemic anymore, and that was Zoom meetings were instituted for that, correct?
No, the Zoom numbers were...
Zoom was being prior to our pandemic?
No, the board decided to have the hybrid meeting.
Okay.
So that all notices have to notice both ways to get into the meeting.
Okay. So I can notice the paper at any time.
I do it tomorrow.
No, I'm going to do it now, of course, but for the March 7th meeting.
Correct.
Do we need to come back again for March 7th?
Well, you'll be heard on March 7th. Mr. Chairman, that leaves us with number 11 on the calendar, which is application PB 23-11 Richards, 52 Asbury Avenue, Block 81, Lot 5. And I have reviewed the service in connection with that application, and the service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the application. It appears that Mr. Richards is here to present the application. But before we do that, let me just hand to the record those exhibits that I'm aware of thus far that the board has received in connection with the application. And they include Exhibit A1. It's a zoning review from your zoning officer, Michelle Clark. That's dated August 18, 2023. Exhibit A2 is the application of Christian Richards. That's dated August 22, 2023. Exhibit A3 is a survey prepared by Charles V. Bell. That's dated October 15, 2019. Exhibit A4 are hand-drawn architectural construction renderings and floor plan. Exhibit A5 are photographs of an existing porch and a basement laundry. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of that the board has received thus far in connection with the application, except for the opening. There is also an exhibit which is going to be A6, and that's the report from your engineers, CME Associates, dated October 18, 2023. That's A6. And Mr. Richards, if you would raise your right hand and be sworn, please, do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And state your name and address for the record.
Christian Richards, 52 Asbury Ave.
And Mr. Richards, what can you tell the board about your application? What is it that you're trying to accomplish, and why do you think the board should grant you?
Sure. So my project is really a relatively small one that'll make a very big difference on my everyday life. Currently, my laundry room is in my unfinished basement. The ceiling in my unfinished basement is an adequate height. It's maybe 6 feet with pipes exposed. The stairs down in the basement are steep. I have a one-year-old child. It's not really safe for me to be holding him and go down there. So it would, you know, bring my laundry to my main living space on the main floor, just off my kitchen, which would be much preferable. Beyond that, it would give me the ability to put a coat closet in, which is included in my drawing, which would be very beneficial to me as well, as I currently don't have any closets on my main floor. So that's really it. The foundation is existing, the roof is existing. The extent of it is putting a floor down and putting two walls up. That's pretty much it.
Thanks very much, Doug. Do you have that?
Sure, Mr. Richards. With the application was a survey of the property dated 2019. Can you confirm that the conditions depicted on that plan are current till today?
Yes, I can confirm.
Thank you. So the enclosure of that porch exists in the side yard setback. Is it accurate, as depicted in my report, that you're not going further into the setback, correct?
Correct.
So the covered porch exists now at 6.5 feet where 10 feet is required. The proposed enclosed area exists within that same footprint.
Correct.
Thank you. Are you elevating the height of the roof?
No.
Are you changing any runoff patterns?
No.
And the area below the existing covered porch is impervious already, correct?
Correct.
That's all we got.
Thank you, Mr. Romine. Do you have any questions for the board?
There
needs to be just
the foundation.
Correct. No need.
I have a question, not for the application, but I guess for the school, the process itself. I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of applications now, which is great. But I think it's crazy that if the footprint's not changing at all, the foundation's not changing, the roof's not changing, that an applicant still needs to, you know, go through the whole process and incur expenses that come along with it. And I don't, I'm honestly genuinely curious, is there anything that can be done in order to have this go on like this?
It would require an ordinance revision. Your ordinance says, this happens to be an undersized lot of record.
Yep.
And your ordinance says that any time you have an undersized lot, if you want to do something with it, you have to come here first. That's the way your ordinance is, and that was pulled out by this officer as a requirement, so they're required to be here. And it's possible, yeah, I mean, it's possible that there could be an addition that might be stay within the building footprint, but be more encompassing than what this applicant is proposing. And I think that the ordinance may be intended to deal with that kind of situation rather than this. But here, definitely have no change in the footprint, have no change in the height, not going up another level, which would be, that would probably trigger variance because you now have a larger wall facing it, so there'd be a variance involved with it. It's the nature of the beast. The ordinance says if you're an undersized lot, you need to come to the board.
We do.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, and thank you, Mr. Stein, for that clarification.
Because we do see it a lot. I mean, there are so many undersized, like, when you moved in.
Yeah. Like, you know, so that was my understanding as soon as I found out that I needed to get some variance.
We get many applications that were like...
Right. Yeah. And I understand why the ordinance is written the way that it is.
Sure.
There have to be so many caveats, and it would be crazy to try to read it, even if it was in here. Take too much time. But I have no questions for that.
If I put it in the same sense, you know, for people that want to convert their porches to live in space, I mean, I think that's something we need to consider, that we should come
right
forward. I mean, part of our town is
you can porches. You can imagine how difficult it would be to isolate, like, certain situations, like Mr. Richard's situation. Right? But, like...
If it becomes a bedroom. Sorry.
Yeah. So, Mr. Ferris, you were asking how do we change the ordinance that council changed that? So, what, how we can be proactive is form a subcommittee, right? And we can just get, that's in the checklist, and make that recommendation. Our elected officials are responsible for making laws, changing laws, ordinances or laws. So that's how that process would go. And further complicated things. You essentially have one calendar year to make those changes, because if it's not done within that cycle, you got to start all over again.
Yeah.
So, it's not. In some ways, it's a good thing that it's hard to make a change of ordinance, but
the situation is kind of unique in this sense.
I'm sure there's been many times the last couple of weeks. Are you kidding me?
There's
the past 6 months, really. But
there's a lot dirtier laundry to deal with sometimes.
But there are
I think you guys make a good point about it being a front porch too in this town. I mean, it's not something. It's something you want to consider.
You're very clear on what you're doing. You have a nice drawing. You're very descriptive for discussions from there.
I have one more thing I just want to address while we're here. So, I believe this was a photo included in your packet.
Yes, it was.
Photo. Gray painted porch, black and white cat, kind of showing the area. It was attached to the application package.
Okay.
So, you're proposing to really just close this in as is, correct? So, are you moving this door forward, or are you eliminating the door?
The door will be
Okay, so you'll have a new exterior door, and did you work with an architect to look into building code issues that may be triggered an exterior door? It may require a landing, an exterior landing, and I see you have two steps here, and I don't want you to leave this board, go to building department, and get denied and have to come back here. So what I'm getting at is, in the event that you're required to put a current code compliant exterior landing to service that exterior door, where you can't open the door and go down the steps immediately. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or work that out, but how would that impact your application and your request at this point? Do you have room to extend or build like a wood landing or extend the stairs?
My understanding was that I can the current footprint of the existing steps
In the setback,
Yeah, but if the stairs already exist, then you should be good, right?
Right, that's, yeah, right. So that's my,
you need a landing.
So as long as the door is in that location where you can use that lane, but he's going to lose the door, so like, the rear, were you planning on moving the door to the rear of the yard?
No.
No, you were literally...
Same location, so using the same.
But do we want to put a provision in there?
Put it in there anyway?
Yeah. Yes, I just want to make sure that I'm clear. You have a door, an exterior door now.
Yes.
When that wall bumps out to the roof line, are you envisioning having an exterior door?
Yes.
Just forward? Okay, that's going to have to land on a new elevated landing before you come down. So, and that exists within the right of way. No, I'm sorry, not the right, side setback. So if you want to build that, you're going to have to seek additional relief to service that new door. So the
question is, does the board want to include that in the resolution that if it's necessary, the board is granted that additional variance relief from the side yard setback solely for the landing?
Yeah.
So we're going to ask for it, not to, and
you ready?
Here we are.
Sounds good. I have a bill here.
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. Do we have any other questions from the board? Do we have any questions from the public? Do we have any questions on Zoom? Their hands up on Zoom. All right. Comment? Oh, I'm sorry. Any comments from the public? Glad I asked. I almost skipped over that.
Yes, Mr. Fisher, do you swear or affirm that any testimony you're going to give in connection with this application be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
Martin Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. Mr. Richards, I have a 7-foot basement for one. You have a 5-foot basement. Please vote yes.
Thank you.
Now I vote
no.
Any other public comments before we move forward? Comments from the board?
We've already made our comments.
So, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve with the side of the landing.
Do we have to include the size for that landing of what we're proposing? Like, is it an extra 2 feet or 3 feet? Should we specify that?
It's in the code.
So a code-compliant landing, correct?
Code-compliant landing.
Nice and strong, Mark. That's all I was looking for. All
right, so we had a motion and a second, is that correct?
Yes, please.
Mr. Posner?
Yes.
Mr. Coppola?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzula?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kaminsky?
Yes.
Chair McCulloch?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Richards.
Thanks, everyone.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned at 4:44.